Hello, I'm John Mellis. Welcome to episode 40 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead as well, as the Northeast local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the Northeast of Scotland or featuring someone from the Northeast of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Dave McDermott and Andrew Shiney. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, May 10th, 2022, reviewing our match away against Hibs and previewing both Saints games against St Johnstone on Gothenburg Day and St Mirren on the final day of the season this coming Sunday. First, though, the aftermath of that Hibs match, which ended in a 1-1 draw for the Dons. Chatting to us afterwards, manager Jim Goodwin reckoned it was a fair result.
Yeah, I mean, look, we certainly didn't come here with that in our mind. We came here to try and win the game, but absolutely. Said to the players after the game, I thought we were very good first half. I thought we were, you know, in control of the majority of the opening 45 minutes, dominated possession. Probably didn't work Macy enough in the final third, but I thought we were the better team. Showed good energy, pressed Hibs high up the pitch and, you know, denied them any real space. Second half, I didn't think we reached those levels, unfortunately. And I've got to give credit to David and his players as well. They changed their system a little bit. And they were the better team in the second 45. So I don't think either of us can have too many arguments. You know, I think my only frustration is at 1-0, we had a couple of decent opportunities where, you know, Johnny Hayes puts a great ball across the face and we, Bejouin's unlucky not to get on the end of it. Christian Ramirez, we actually had some decent football. Johnny Hayes flicks it around the corner and unfortunately Christian's touch let him down on that occasion. So we could have got ourselves two up. And if we did that, I think we would have won the game. But in fairness to Hibs, they kept going and deservedly got the equaliser. And 1-1, it you know, keeps us safe, as you say, mathematically, but it's certainly not something that we're celebrating, believe me.
And Jim says he's still finding out about his players.
Absolutely, you're always looking to learn and, you know, learning about the group, absolutely. I picked the starting 11 who are all under contract for next season. A number of the nine subs, you know, six of them, I think, have been already told that they're either not getting an offer or are surplus to requirements. So with that, there's always a little bit of a tension and frustration maybe within the group. But, you know, that's, I try to be honest with people and tell them how it is and give them enough time to get themselves sorted. So we went with a starting 11 that had something to play for. You know, and I said that to them before the game, you know, they're playing for their jerseys next year. Go and show me that you want to be here and be a part of it, because, you know, if we need to move others on, then that's what we'll do. But I felt I got a good reaction and a good response from the starting 11.
David Bates, not a name you expect to see in the score sheet very often, but he was more concerned about the equaliser conceded at the other end.
I think it comes from us letting Hibs step on to us and again, not doing what we've done first half and get up and press and we're kind of man-be-man at times, which I thought we were good at first half. Stepped off the game, let them dictate more, and they've got good players on the ball, so when you invite that pressure, they're going to get chances. Again, we need to fix that.
Hibs' interim boss felt his side maybe merited more of the match than just the draw.
A lot happier with the reaction to losing the goal. That was the big disappointment for last week. I thought we played really well last week. But once we lost the goal, I thought we just sort of huffed and puffed and accepted it a little bit, where the reaction today was fantastic. The goal we lose, we need to defend a lot better. It's the second phase for a set piece. That wasn't good enough, but then the reaction was really good. And then once we get the goal, I felt there was only one team that was then going to go on and win again.
Most of the hard miles run last week, but going into this one, just to be absolutely sure of safety, we required a point, Andrew. That's what we got. I mean, your thoughts, I'll let you bring up the ref as well. It's sort of becoming your thing. I think you and Dave can maybe take it season about on that one. But your thoughts on the game in general?
I thought it was two fairly evenly balanced sides, in as much as they weren't brilliant defensively. They were a bit powder puff in attack, both definitely lacking confidence, both looking to get away in their holidays at the end of a season where they had hugely underachieved. Virtually two identical goals, left wing cross, knocked down at the far post and turned in by a defender, which said a lot about the respective attacks in the games that we didn't manage to see really anything from either forward line, although Joe Lewis did make a good save from Elias Melkerson in the first half and then made a brilliant save from Joe Newell in the second half. I mean, David Gray, the Hibs interim boss, when he came in, said, I did initially think, you know, how on earth has Joe Newell managed to miss that? But then he says, when you look at that again, he says it's an absolutely sensational save from Joe Lewis, because the ball's almost past him when he throws out his arm, not only blocks it, but manages to hold on to it. It had all the hallmarks of an end of the season game, and Aberdeen in the end of the day, happy to come away with the point that ensures that they don't go into the playoffs. Now, Bobby Madden. Just another typical Bobby Madden performance, to be perfectly honest. From the back pass free kick, which, you know, on second, third, fourth, tenth viewings, you still are not sure that it was a back pass. But at the end of the day, Ryan Porteous saw his shot blocked, so it came to nothing. But the challenge in Lewis Ferguson in the second half was bizarre in the extreme, because initially it looked like Bobby Madden had given an indirect free kick against Ferguson for ducking his head too low. Then he changed his mind and gave an indirect free kick for Harry Clark just about decapitating Lewis Ferguson. I'm not certain that it was inside the box, but if it was a free kick to Aberdeen, surely for high feet, it's dangerous play, it should have been a booking, and it should have been a direct free kick. As it was, I think that was the free kick that led to Aberdeen's goal. So you could say, you know, they got a goal out of it in the end of the day. But again, Bobby Madden, very, very inconsistent. I think he needs a holiday as well. I think everybody in Scottish football...
We all need a holiday.
Yes, exactly. I think everyone involved. That was certainly the talk in the press room was, thank God that's another win out the road. How many more have we got to go before we can finally draw a veil over this season? And the thing was, everybody had started the season so full of optimism, looking forward to it, crowds back in at games, a bit of normality back. But to be honest, this season, the quality has been dross. It really has. And unfortunately, Aberdeen are one of the sides that, tick that box.
Mm. Yeah, I'm fairly certain you'd have got long odds before the game on the possibility of a David Bates goal from a Declan Gallagher knockdown, Dave. Credit to them both for, I suppose, grasping the confidence to get up there and do that, because they've not had an easy ride this season.
No, they haven't. And to be honest, they've been very inconsistent. They came through the period when we lost the second run of 10 games without winning, onto a bit of form, but that seemed to evaporate again quite quickly. But yeah, fair play to them. They've stuck to their tasks. But, they're obviously two of the players that Jim sees as being fairly integral going forward. So we know there are players in there, but sadly, I don't think we've seen enough of it from either of them consistently. Declan Gallagher has been very, very disappointing since he joined Aberdeen, to be honest. And David Bates, you know, you've got to say he didn't have a pre-season last year, and so he was starting from way behind, but he's had plenty of games now, and hopefully that goal will have given him a wee bit of confidence, because sometimes the confidence, as it has been throughout the squad, has been severely lacking.
Do you think in their instance, Dave, Declan Gallagher and David Bates, do you think Jim sees a situation where he can coach them to be better as a unit?
Well, I think he must do. I mean, because, you know, Mikey Devlin's away, Andy Considine's gone away. You know, we were talking before we came on about youngster Luke Turner, who's been allowed to be released. So it does seem as though that's the duo that Jim sees as the first choice central defenders going forward. So, you know, he sees them every day in training, so he'll be seeing things that we don't. And hopefully it's the right decision, because if it's not, we're in trouble.
Mm. I mean, of course, we can't speculate on what's coming in as well. I mean, you'd imagine there would be additions to defence, and these guys, they might not be first pick next season, for all we know. I suppose one of the galling things, Andrew, is that, again, I mean, despite Joe's best efforts, we're back to conceding the goal, losing that clean sheet, and not being able to manage out the victory.
Yeah, unfortunately, the label of being a soft touch that has been attached to Aberdeen with some justification this season showed itself again. Hibs did throw everything at the Dons in the last 20 minutes or so of the game. And, you know, a couple of saves apart, Joe didn't have a huge amount to do, so they did defend a wee bit better, but you have to bear in mind it's a pretty toothless attack that Hibs have got at the moment. When you look at their goal scorers over the season, top scorer, Martin Boyle, he's been away since January. Second top scorer, Kyle McGuinness, he's been injured since October, for goodness sake. So it tells you a lot about Hibs. Christian Doidge doesn't even feature in their matchday squad. You've got clever players like Scott Allen who can't get onto the pitch. Kevin Nisbet's been injured, but yeah, they're a toothless tiger, Hibernian. It's interesting when you speak to the Hibs staff, they just admit it. They say, hey, we're absolute garbage. If you can't beat us, you're no very good either. So they're under no illusions that they've got a huge task ahead of them. So maybe that good defending or last ditch defending we saw from Aberdeen, and there was a lot of it, let's be honest. I mean, Josh Doig would have scored, but for Ross McCrory throwing his head in the road of that shot right at the end of the game. And I doubt very much whether Ross McCrory is going to be able to play tomorrow night, because that looked a clear case of a pretty bad concussion, because when he came off, he was trying to get back onto the pitch, but helped off by Kevin Bain, the physio, and I think it was Greg Nicol, the doctor that was on duty on Saturday. He was like a rubber manny, you know, the legs were going in all sorts of different directions. But, you know, eventually, after the initial corner had been taken and cleared out for another corner, eventually the Dons managed to get Andy Considine on, and he had to clear another corner. So it didn't make me wonder, you know, when McCrory does look like there's no way he can continue, why wasn't Considine thrown on straight away? There's maybe a lack of communication between the medics and the bench, or the bench weren't prepared or whatever, but we were a bit shambolic towards the end of the game. There were players going down injured. Marley Watkins, for example, don't think we'll see him again this season. He appeared to have a thigh or a groin problem, had to come off. Wee Conor Barn took a sore one. But he's the type that will bounce back from it. But you had McGeoch, you had Funso Ojo on, both of whom I think we know won't be at Pittodrie next season. It was just so bitty, that last 20 minutes or so, that it gave Hibs the chance. And you were thinking, you know, we're going to lose this game. And then at the time, St Johnstone were winning against Livingston, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what's it going to be like on Wednesday? Then fortunately, Livingston scored and Hibs didn't. So all in the garden is rosy-ish, because we're not involved in a playoff. But there's a lot of work to be done, particularly getting that back door closed, because our clean sheet record this season is abysmal.
Okay, two things there. One, Hibs backroom staff saying, oh, we're rubbish. If you can't beat us, you must be rubbish too.
Well, that was their media staff, not their backroom staff.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I know the two guys that you're talking about. Hibs entourage, they used to have a couple of guys that would appear at the tunnel. And I still don't know what they did. I think probably Kit staff, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they used to talk about Hibs all the time, and you get all sorts of information out of them. Reliability as much as anything else. And the other thing, rubber manny is a term that I never ever thought that we'd get into a podcast, but I thank you for sharing it. A lot of fans shouting for Dante Polvara to get a run out, and they finally got their wish. He wasn't on for the full 90 day, but what did you make of what you saw of him?
Yeah, it looked okay. It was difficult to tell. As Andrew said, it looked like a very much an end of season game, with both sides, you know, as bad as each other, to be honest. But you know, he got a run out from the start, and yeah, as I say, he looked neat and tidy. But I would like to see him in a more, you know, a different situation,
a competitive environment.
Yeah, a competitive environment, and one where we're playing a wee bit better. You know, the fact that we just look like a team, as did Hibs, completely devoid of confidence.
And the return to action of Andy Considine as well, Andrew. You mentioned that just before the end. I wasn't there, but I'm certain that had got a good reception from the travelling Dons fans.
Oh, he got a fantastic reception. I mean, whenever he went out to warm up, and the Dons players did warm up in front of their own fans, he got a terrific ovation when he went out to warm up. And finally, to be able to make appearance number 570 for Aberdeen, I think... he was as thrilled as the fans were. It's been a long, long wait since August in Baku to return to action, albeit only for a minute or so at Easter Road. It will be interesting to see because, as I say, Ross McCrory looks like he could well miss out, certainly tomorrow and possibly on Sunday as well. It will be interesting to see if Andy Considine gets 290 minutes under his belt before he says he's fond farewells on Sunday. So, and just a wee mention about Paul Vara. I thought, like Dave said, neat and tidy. I thought he looked a player who wanted to do other things, but felt, you know, my teammates aren't on the same wavelength as me. I'm just going to play it safe. So that was maybe if there was to be any criticism of him, it was that he played it just a little too safe. But there were enough touches in there, and he's a tall, athletic guy. He got himself involved in the game that there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel there in respect of him.
Okay, a couple of things. It's a long shot that Andy Considine listens to our podcast, but in case he does, I'm not going to be there on Sunday, Andy. I would wave you off and give you a good shout, but I can't be there. I'm really sorry. Now, the other thing is him's apparently now looking at Derek McInnes as a possible managerial contender. It's not that long since he started at Kilmarnock. He's brought them up into this league. We're told that Billy Bowie's going to give him a situation where he's got the biggest sort of checkbook to splash the cash that Kilmarnock have ever issued. Do you see, if there was an interest from a Hibs side of things, Derek McInnes going there, Dave?
Well, I see today certainly in one of the tabloids that Hibs' shortlist does not include Derek McInnes.
Oh, there you go.
But knowing Derek, I would have thought he would want to, unless it was an offer he just couldn't refuse, I would have thought that he's got unfinished business at Kilmarnock, i.e. getting them back to where they were just a couple of years ago, you know, in the top six and back into Europe. So maybe wrong, but, you know, we know Derek's abilities as a manager, but, I would have thought, you know, he's only been at Kilmarnock since January. Yeah. He's starting to mould the squad. You know, he's been given a good budget by Billy Bowie and the Kilmarnock board. So I would have thought he would have want to fulfil his ambitions at Rugby Park first.
And a certain sense of loyalty, I would have thought, as well, Andrew, to the job in hand.
Yes, I think so. Certainly the talk at Easter Road on Saturday was of Derek McInnes being in the frame for the Hibs job, but it would appear now that Ron Gordon is back in Edinburgh and has discounted him. And it's Carl Robinson, I think, the Oxford United manager, who is being touted for that post. But whatever they need to do, they need to get the appointment right. They're in the same boat as Aberdeen, where they took on a rookie manager and I don't think gave him the right sort of wingman to move forward. I think, you know, everybody would have liked to have had an Archie Knox, but there's only one Archie Knox, and unfortunately he's retired from the game now. But it's an assistant manager of that ilk, somebody that knows the game inside out, who's got vast experience, great contacts, etc., that you need. So Hibs have got to make sure that, I think, they bring in an experienced campaigner. And if it's not to be Derek McInnes, because a lot of Hibs fans would not be happy if Derek McInnes was to be their next manager. A lot of Hibs fans wouldn't be happy, regardless of who they get as their next manager. I think, you know, as Dave said, he's still got work to do at Kilmarnock. And if he stays at Kilmarnock and they're in the Premiership, there will be certain players who are leaving Pittodrie that will be of interest to him, I'm quite sure.
Yes, I dare say. A team of players started at Easter Road, all of whom are contracted to Aberdeen for next season. And Jim Goodwin told them, go out and show me why you deserve to stay. These next couple of games, he's hinted that may change to allow fringe players being given the opportunity to show why they might deserve to be kept on instead of showing the door. I think probably injuries have determined this to an extent as well. But I'm trying to think of names that we'd include in that bracket, Dave. Conor McLennan, Matty Kennedy, Dylan McGeoch.
Matty Kennedy, I think, Jim Goodwin tried to sign him when he was manager at St Mirren. I think Matty Kennedy is a player that Jim Goodwin likes. So I do think that Matty Kennedy will be there next season. But of the others, Conor McLennan hasn't unfortunately fulfilled the potential he showed. I personally don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised. Funso, Ojo, Dylan McGeoch, guys like that may just be moved on because both these guys will be on decent wages, and Jim will want to mould his own squad. So, but I do think Matty Kennedy will remain at Pittodrie.
Any others that I'm missing out, Andrew, that you think, well, they might perform the sort of great escape and get kept on?
I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. I think some of the youngsters, you'll see Ryan Duncan, who was on loan at Peterhead's, feature with the first team squad. And you're looking at the others who went out on loan. Dean Campbell will be back from Kilmarnock. He's one that's maybe the jury's slightly out on, but he's a versatile player. He can play centre mid, he can play left mid, he can play as a left wing back or a left back, a push. Kieran Nguenya, who was on loan at Kelty Hearts, he's another who they must be considering for first-team football next season. And then you've got the younger players, Evan Towler, who may go out on loan, but at a higher level than Elgin City for next season. But he's come back in and played a couple of under-18 games, and he went away a boy, and he looks a man now. I mean, he's still only 17, but he looks a much more accomplished player now, having gone on loan. There's others like Kevin Hanratty, a mercurial talent who really hasn't done much when he's been out on loan, but he's been training with the first team squad for the last little while. Now, it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of games, as you say, whether some of these fringe players are given an opportunity. And, he's one that could come into it because we're lightweight up top. There's no getting away from it. Christian Ramirez's head is away somewhere else. Marley Watkins just struggles to keep himself fit. So, you can't be reliant on these two for next season. So you're going to need strikers, forward-thinking players. I think they're going to have to buy two strikers, to be perfectly honest, for next season. Because, as I say, the two we've got in place, you couldn't hang your hat on them. So one or two others that may sort of come into the frame. Mason Hancock, who was on loan at Stirling Albion, highly thought of, possibly a left back rather than a central defender. But there's not a lot of others, unfortunately.
In the case of Dean Campbell, I would have thought that maybe prior to when he went away on loan, I would have thought, yeah, he's on his way out the door. When he comes back in, you've got the prospect of maybe a couple of players. You know, Scott Brown's retired. You've got Lewis Ferguson, who seems to be halfway out the door. And I just wonder if now, where he suffered because there were a number of players ahead of him, if he's possibly coming back in at a better time for himself, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I honestly don't think Dean got a fair crack at the whip in terms of, and for reasons that are completely understandable, but he never seemed to get a run. It was very much stop-start. And Dean never lets you down, no matter where he's played. And like a lot of players before him, sometimes their versatility can be their undoing because, they just get slotted in because there's a space there for, injury or suspension or whatever. But I do think Dean is a player that we should be retaining and working on and giving a decent run. Players thrive on getting a run of games. And to be honest, throughout his career, Dean's never really had that.
Is that a decent idea, Andrew, when you think about it? You know, safety assured, those guys that we played up until this point might mentally now switch off a little, but the ones who need to be really sharp and on it are those who are on the way out, because they need to look good for potentially watching clubs, possible new employers, and maybe even, you know, an outside long shot at redemption. Let the tired legs rest, but the fringe lads have a go. Nothing ventured and all that.
There's a fair case to be made for that. And it just freshens everything up, because at the moment, we look very stale as a team and a bit lacking in ideas. And the league table doesn't lie, particularly away from home. We've been absolutely awful. I mean, only Dundee are in the same away wins tally as us. Two out of 18. I mean, that's abysmal for an Aberdeen side. So, freshen it up, give guys a chance. I think those who are on their way out the door, you know, I'm quite sure that their agents have been working hard and they may well have something lined up for next season. So they don't want to get injured, and because it's going to be a short, close season, and you want to get a decent pre-season if you're going to a new club, to get yourself assimilated into that club, get to know your teammates. So I think we'll probably see maybe not so many in the starting 11 tomorrow night, but on the bench, I think we'll see quite a number of changes. But as I say, because of the injuries and knocks and such like that were sustained on Saturday, I think we will see a number of changes to the starting 11. But I think we'll see a few fresh faces on the bench, and that maybe will give us a wee sign as to what the makeup of the squad is going to be like next season.
Okay, so it's All Saints the next two games. That's St Johnstone on Wednesday away, followed by St Mirren at home on Sunday. Not All Saints, pop group who we might struggle to beat. How do we see those going? I mean, first up, as I say, it's St Johnstone versus Aberdeen, Andrew.
You're not going to mention who got the predictor right this last week?
No, who did get? I've forgotten, so I clearly
I
wasn't
went 1-1. I went 1-1, yes.
All right, well, there you go. So my apologies. I don't even think I put in a predictor this week. well done, Andrew. Well done. Sorry.
Thank you. This is our 40th edition, and I think it's probably the first one I've managed to get right. That tells you everything about this season or my abilities as a pundit. Probably a bit of both.
St Johnstone versus Aberdeen. It's an interesting one for St Johnstone. They now know where they're going. They now know what's ahead of them. Do they sort of, I don't know, shrink into their shell a little bit, or do they have to try and maintain some sort of level, because they were fighting for their lives. They still are. Do they have to maintain some sort of level and pride and go into their playoff situation with everything they've got?
I think they have to, because they're going to be playing either Arbroath or Inverness Cali Thistle, both of whom have finished the season strongly. So it's going to be a fair old battle between Cali Thistle and Dick Campbell's Arbroath. But whoever it is, they're going to give St Johnstone a hell of a fight to try and win that playoff. So I don't think St Johnstone can afford to say, well, look, we'll chuck out the reserves against Aberdeen, we'll put the boys in cotton wool. Because although they've done a little bit better in the latter part of the season, they're still in the playoff position. So they seem incapable of winning games, and certainly they still struggle like mad to score goals. So you're looking for a prediction for tomorrow night. You'll hate this one. 0-0.
St Johnstone versus Aberdeen. Dave?
1-1.
Okay. And then Aberdeen versus St Mirren on Sunday, which I would imagine will be, I mean, if he plays, it certainly will be Andrew Constantine's last game.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 Aberdeen. Nothing at stake for either side, but other than pride. And hopefully Andy will get a proper run out on that one.
Yeah, I'd agree that Aberdeen will win that game, maybe 2-1. I'd love to see us keep a clean sheet, but, well, I've predicted a clean sheet tomorrow night, but two in a row, that's maybe asking too much. It's going to be a pretty surreal atmosphere at Pittodrie, a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday with absolutely nothing at stake other than wishing a very fond farewell to one of the club's favourite sons. I hope there's a decent crowd in there. St Mirren will bring virtually nobody up, other than total diehards. And you can see it being a bit of an eerie, empty atmosphere. But the chance to see or see Andy on the pitch for the last time wearing red and say goodbye to him will probably bring a few extra fans along. And I hope that it finishes off with an Andrew Considine winner.
Who knows? I tell you, if he's playing the defense, I wouldn't put it past him for us to get a clean sheet. I genuinely wouldn't. Just briefly, before we get on to the other teams and levels across the club, off the field this week, the Dons made Woolley Garner a non-executive director of the club. Your thoughts on that one, gents?
I think it's a really good appointment. I was speaking to Woolley on Friday at a function that Andrew and I were at, and I think it's so important to have somebody with good knowledge and experience of Scottish football on, at the coalface, on the board. I think we lost a bit of that when Craig Brown was taken off the board. And you look at the makeup of the board, it's an area that's distinctly lacking. So fair play to Dave Cormack and the rest of the board for approaching Willie. And he's a top lad. And, I think it's a brilliant appointment.
Yeah, I think Willie brings a good mix of football knowledge as well as business knowledge, because he worked in the banking industry for about 30 years. So he knows what he's talking about, both in football terms and in business terms. So a very good appointment, and wish Willie every success in his new role.
Absolutely. And obviously he's coming in knowing the value of a pound, and just in time, possibly. The Calvin Ramsey deal with Liverpool looking ever closer to coming to fruition. Won another Young Player of the Year accolade at the weekend, which is a lot of fans saying, oh, we deserve more than $4 million for him. You know, I'd be inclined to agree, but the fact is, we're not in the driving seat here, and we have no idea what sort of extras are being negotiated in this deal, in the same way we didn't with Scott McKenna. But might find out soon enough if his team come through the playoffs and get promoted. Is it just one of those where you have to trust the staff at the club? We're not in the boardroom, Andrew.
I'm quite sure that Aberdeen will try and negotiate the very best deal possible by saying, right, after he's made his Premiership debut, if it is Liverpool that Calvin's going to go to, there'll be an add-on, international caps, and then 50 appearances, 100 appearances, 25 caps, all these sorts of things will be built into it. And you just have to wish Calvin Ramsey the very best of luck, because it's been a meteoric rise from the youngster. I've seen him playing for about the last three seasons or something like that, at various different levels. He's always looked very, very promising. Yes, he's still got a lot to learn, but it says a lot for him that a club of the stature of Liverpool is interested in the player. It's not like it's Fleetwood Town or somebody like that that are looking at him. It's a side that is potentially going to be the champions of Europe. So it will be a massive learning curve for Calvin. But you're absolutely right to say that we're not in the driving seat in terms of dictating what a fee is going to be. But I'm sure that everyone who's involved in structuring the deal will make sure that Aberdeen get the very best out of it.
And with Jurgen Klopp as a manager, do we think there might be a language barrier until Calvin's English improves, Dave?
Yeah, possibly.
Now, for AFC Women, a big week as they closed off their home matches with a 4-2 victory over Partick Thistle at Cormac Park. Took the next step in the revolution when they moved close to becoming a semi-professional team, with the first five players ever to be signed on that basis by Aberdeen, all entering contracts until 2024. So congratulations to Jess Broderick, Bailey Hutchison, Francesca Ogilvy, Ailey Shore and Eva Thompson, the first five to put pen to paper with the strong intention that others will follow. I think it's great. It's kind of why this season with the men's team is even more annoying, because throughout all the other levels of the club, as well as behind the scenes in various initiatives, there's been a lot of progress and encouraging signs, this being one of them. So the team went into Sunday's match against Hibs with a bit of a bounce and hoping to end the last week of the season on a positive note, knowing they could finish the campaign in fifth spot, their target at the beginning, by taking points from the Edinburgh side. The earlier games between the two, fairly tight, with one win apiece. This one, though, ended 4-1 for the home side. So the girls just failing to cement their fifth place finish in their first season in the top flight on this occasion. They're still in fifth at the moment, five ahead of Spartans, a couple of away games to come. The first of those against runners-up Glasgow City, a team they lost 10-1 to last time they played there. And then on Sunday, it's Motherwell away, who they might fancy the chances against slightly better. I think they probably need a win to be absolutely certain, because Spartans, their nearest rivals, could catch them with a couple of wins, and there's only one in it for goal difference right now. We'll know by our next show. But back-to-back promotions, at least six in SWPL1, playing at Pittodrie and Ibrox, playing on telly, turning semi-pro. It's not a bad period of growth for the women's team, Dave, is it?
No, it's been brilliant. And, you know, Sunday's blip against Hibs should take nothing away from the strides that they've made over the last two, three seasons. And, you know, Emma Hunter and Gavin Beath deserve great credit for doing that. And the, having the five girls on a semi-professional contract shows, you know, commitment from the club, from the AFC, and shows that they're on the way up. And, you know, these girls signing will be even make them even more of role models for other youngsters coming up. So, no, it's exciting times for the women's team, and well-deserved, and hopefully they can finish the season in fifth. But whatever happens, it's been a great progress made, not just this season, but over the last two, 3 years.
Now, onto the under-18s, and you may remember how chuffed we were last week when the Dons came back up the road, having beaten a Hibs side, which is going to win the league at a canter. Well, the return couldn't come soon enough for the Easter Road team, who came up to Cormac Park on Tuesday and turned the Young Dons over at 3-0. Although I'm told the scoreline doesn't really reflect how much tighter the game really was, Andrew. Another 18s also went on to play Dundee United this week past and Kilmarnock on Sunday. Tell us about all of those, please.
The Hibs game, as you say, it was tighter than the 3-0 scoreline. The 18s team was boosted by the inclusion of Tom Ritchie in goal, his first game in 5 months after injury, who just brings a calmness to the back division that, with all due respect to Jamie Singler and Blessing Oluyemi, his greater experience, you would expect he would bring that. Evan Towler was in central defence, and I've spoken about him earlier. Ryan Duncan came back into the team. So there was a bit of steel in that side, but Hibs, you could tell that they were determined that they were going to reverse that loss that they had in their home ground against us. They were very switched on. They made sure that Ryan Duncan didn't get space. They closed the door to Liam Harvey up front. The guys in the middle of the park, you know, although they worked hard, they didn't have the same influence in the game. So a totally justified victory for Hibs, but 3-0 maybe flattered them. We then played some very, very good football against Dundee United and beat them 3-1 before going down. That was on Friday evening. Then on Sunday, just to, you know, a matter of 48 hours, it wasn't even 48 hours later because it was a 1:30 kickoff. We're down at Kilmarnock and it was a very sluggish performance. There's no getting away from it. The boys looked out on their feet, to be perfectly honest. They lost 2-1 down there. And again, that's understandable. The older boys, Tom, Evan, Ryan, that I mentioned earlier, they didn't play in the game on Sunday. It was back to the very young squad that was playing. So a little bit of a disappointment, the loss down at Kilmarnock, because we've beaten the Rugby Park side three times out of three in the previous meetings. But we couldn't argue with the scoreline down there. Killy were the better side, but the Dons looked tired. The finish off against Celtic today. Now, my season with the 18s, my career following the 18s ended on Sunday, because I've decided to retire from that facet of the game. So it was unfortunate that I went out on a losing note. I'm not able to be down at Barrowfield this afternoon to watch them play Celtic in their final game, but I wish the boys every success. I will still go along and watch them at Cormac Park in future years, just not writing match reports about them unless nobody else is there to do it. It's been great watching these young boys. And that's the thing that we've got to remember. They are very young. They've still got a couple of seasons ahead of them at under 18 level. But the experience they'll have taken on board this year will stand them in such good stead for the seasons ahead. And as Barry keeps telling them, next year, it won't be 18 and 17 year olds that you'll be playing. It'll be boys who are your own age, but you will have that experience of playing against men that they don't have. So it's exciting times ahead for Aberdeen. There's some very good young players coming through the ranks. And I think Aberdeen are doing it the right way. Instead of, you know, filling your team with players who are right bang on the cusp of the date cutoff for a particular league, they bring youngsters in and blood them early. And as I say, the future's bright for them.
Do you think Barry and his team will be pleased with the way their campaign's unfolded overall, Andrew?
Absolutely. I was speaking to Barry on Sunday and he says, what an achievement it is. He says, it doesn't look great on paper, but to finish fifth in that league, which is where Aberdeen look likely to finish, bear in mind, Celtic are rock bottom of that league. Celtic got beat 4-0 from Hibs at Hibs training grounds last Friday. That's where we beat them 1-0. You know, we're miles ahead of Celtic in, at this level. I think it's been, as I say, it's been a huge learning experience for a lot of them. But yeah, far more positives than there are negatives. A lot still to be learned by a lot of the boys. Some will fall by the wayside. That always happens in football. We were just talking before we came on air about various players that have come through the ranks at Aberdeen who didn't quite make it but have gone elsewhere, like Sam Roscoe to Linfield in Ireland, where they won their 56th league title. I think that takes them ahead of any number that Rangers or the Rangers have managed to put together. You know, there's Ryan Harrington, who's playing for Connors Quay down in Wales, who has played a European Champions League qualifier when he was down there. Sometimes you have to move elsewhere to progress. That will be the case with Aberdeen, but a lot of the young guys that I've been watching this season will still be there next year, and I really look forward to seeing how they develop.
Okay, and any juniors there? I mean, at Banksiddy, they must have some games from 2021 still to complete,
didn't
they?
No, Banksiddy won the McLemmon Cup, beating Bridgeton Thistle 2-0 in Sunday's final. Jack Henderson with a penalty, Mark Gilmore. They play their last game as a junior club tonight at Dice in Super League. And the other games of note, the Morrison Cup semi-finals finished. Glentanner 1, Rothie Rovers 2, Stonybrook Parkvale 0, Stonehaven 2, and Rothie and Hive will play the final on Friday evening at Heatherfold.
And that is pretty much it for episode 40 of Pittodrie PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Now, please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate, review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.